on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Palm Sunday. It's a special day. It's the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the day that began a series of events as they laid out the palm branches and they laid out the clothes for him to ride in. Began a series of events that would culminate in a very special event for Jesus and for you and I at the end of that week. And I'm not talking about the cross. I'm talking about communion. Of all the things that Jesus could have said, "I want you to remember me this way, and I want this to be used to remember me," the thing that he used was communion. Communion is the makeup of two words, common union. He wants to be in union with us, and he wants us to be in union with one another. Communion. You know what, though, as it is with a lot of the things that believers do, we don't understand sometimes why we do them. We kind of go through church, we go through all the motions and the movements that church does, but we really never realize what we're doing or why we're doing it. So I want to talk about that today. Why did Jesus tell us to use communion? Why do we do communion? Well, he said to remember him this way, but why? Why? So if you will, I want you to imagine with me, if you can, being with Jesus in that room that Thursday night, just before he was going to be arrested. You're in that room and you're watching this happening and you're feeling the emotions. There's something different because he was with his 12 closest buddies, his 12 closest friends. They had eaten this way together many times. In those days, there was a short table, a little table, and they would either sit on the floor or recline. It was a very comfortable atmosphere. But this time it was something different. This time it was even more dramatic and more special. Imagine, if you will, how it was as they sat at that table. And as the Lord always did, as he often does, and the Bible tells us about it, and you may remember it on the road to Emmaus, how that they knew him because of the way he blessed the bread. In other words, the way he blessed the eating, the supper. He does a thanksgiving. The Bible says that he took the bread and he gave thanks. It would be like you or I having supper and we have a prayer. We're blessing the prayer. But as Jesus did in this particular time, he gave thanks for the bread. He stopped and he did something totally different, something he had never done before. He had the 12 guys with him, and he stopped, and he looks at them, and he says, "This is my body. This is my body, which is for you." And then the Bible says that he took it, and he broke it. You know, we kind of read over that. There were 12 guys in that room. Means he would have broken 12 pieces, given each guy a piece. Everybody had a part of him. 12 pieces broken. He says, this is for you. As we serve communion here in just a little while, you're going to be given a cracker, which is your part. It's Him, as it was, taking this and breaking a piece for you. It's your part. And Jesus says, I want you to remember me this way. Do we? Do we appreciate? Are we thankful? Some of the other terms that are used for communion are Eucharist, or the table of the Lord. The word Eucharist means gratitude, means grateful, means thankful. Are we grateful for that bread, for that body? Do we think about what it's really done for us? He says, it's for you. Then after he had the meal, the Bible says he took the cup. The cup. There would have been red wine, and the cup would have been filled with the red wine. He looked at his guys again, and he says, now, this is the cup. It's my blood. It's the blood of the new covenant, not the old covenant. Make sure you hear that. It's not the blood of commandments and not the blood of Sabbaths and not the blood of laws and regulation. It's not Old Testament blood, animal blood. It's the blood of the new covenant shed for you. He says, I want you to take it and I want you to drink it. Then he said, do this in remembrance of me. This is how I want you to remember me. Not the cross. We've adapted the cross as the sign, as the memorial of Christ. Not even the tomb. That's not what he said to take and remember him with. He said, remember him with his body, the bread, and the cup, his blood. This is how I want you to remember me. Do you? Do you? He says, I want you to remember. I want you to be appreciative. I want you to be thankful for my blood. Are we? Are you? Probably to the disciples and many people, as it is today, it was then, we really don't understand what he meant by that. They were probably confused. But it meant something to him. It meant much to him. You see, Jesus knew that within just a few short hours, he was going to be arrested. Within just a few short hours, he was going to be beaten. Within just a few short hours, he was going to be scourged and bleed. He was going to be nailed to a cross. He was going to be crucified and he would die. In just a short time, he would be buried. It meant something to him. He knew that he was about to be made to be sin. That's a strange thought. The Son of God. Made to be sin. Let me show you this in the scriptures. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. It says, Second Corinthians chapter 5. He says in verse 21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin. On the back of your gateways, if you're taking notes, that would be your first fill-in. Would you say that back to me, made to be sin? Made to be sin. Made to be sin. It says that he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be. Here's why he was made to be sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him, that we might be made right with God through him. You see, Jesus was not just an animal sacrifice like in the old covenant where an animal was taken and his blood was spilled and his blood was put over the sins. No, no, no. Jesus became sin. He became your sin. He became my sin. You see, when Jesus was arrested, sin was arrested. When Jesus was punished and his body was punished, that was sin being punished. When he was scourged, that was sin scourged. That was sin bleeding. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, the Bible says that he was nailed to the cross so that our sins could be nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the cross for you and for me because our sins were nailed there. And when he died, sin died. And when he buried, sin was buried. Your sin. And every believer, every Christ follower who comes to Jesus Christ is made right with God through him. It is the only way. See, the thing that will, not could, but will send you to hell eternally died for you and for me that day. He says, I want you to remember me this way. Remember my body, what it's doing for you. Remember my blood, what it's doing for you. Remember me this way. And so when the Christ follower comes, the thing that keeps us with an eternal life, keeps us out of hell, is that body and that blood. Remember me this way. Here's how I want you to remember me. What I've done for you. You are made right with God through what Jesus Christ did for us. Are we thankful? Do we ever think about it? You see, this week, what I really want this week to be for us is a day of remembering. A week of remembering. I want us to go all week long remembering. Thinking about it. Next week we'll celebrate. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. We'll celebrate. But this week is a week to remember. He went all week. This was the last thing he did before he was arrested. And he says, I want you to remember this. Let's go this week remembering what Jesus did for us. What his body did. What his blood does. He said, remember me this way. When we experience communion, it should always encourage us to think three things. And I want to talk about these three things in the next few minutes. The first thing that it should always cause us to do is look within. Again, on your notes, if you have your notes, then that would be where your fill-in would be. To look within. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 says this, a man ought to examine himself or herself before, when? Before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone, who? Anyone? Preacher? Saint? Lost? Anyone. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Judgment. Paul says, that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep or died. You see, I want you to know that there is healing in that body. There is health in that body. There's strength instead of weakness. There's health instead of sickness. There's life instead of death. But what you got to do to acquire that is to look within. Examine yourself. And when you examine yourself, what do you see? Do you like what you see? Is there something standing between you and God who, by the blood of Jesus Christ, has made you righteous? You've made you righteous with God. In other words, are there sins? Are there idols? Are there things standing between you and God that cause you not to be able to experience the relationship with God Almighty that you want to have with Him? Are there things there? If that's your case, and when you look within today, and there are things that don't have you in the relationship with God or with Christ the way you want to be, then as you partake of this bread, and as you partake of this juice, or of this body, and of this blood, as you do that, let it arrest those things. Let it bury those things. Let it crucify those things. Let it kill those things so that you can have the life you want to have. When you do this, remember me, he says. Maybe you look within and you can't even see God anywhere. Maybe you've never come to Him. What a wonderful day to do it. Maybe you had come at one time, but He's so far away now. You can't hardly even see him as you do look within. Then use this today to arrest those things, to crucify those things, so that you can have the relationship with him that you know you want, that your spirit desires to have. Maybe when you look within, you see depression, you see sadness. Then you use this time, as you look within, to arrest those things. Arrest that sadness. Arrest that depression. Let the Lord come to you and make himself real to you, because he says, I want you to remember me this way. First thing we always must do is look within. Examine ourselves. Then the second thing that we do is we look back. Look back. Exodus chapter 12, verse 26 through 27 says this, For when your children ask you, What does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The children of Israel were instructed to look back. The Passover is, of course, swallowed up by communion. So we too should look back. We should look back. What he was telling them to do, what Moses told the children of Israel to do, was look back at what God memories you have, of the special God memories that God has given you. The time when he delivered you from bondage. The time he brought you out of Egypt. The time he opened up the Red Sea. The time he miraculously gave you manna. The time he miraculously gave you drink. Those times he says, now you look back and you remember. And when you get around somebody, tell them. Tell them what this means to you. See, what we need to do today is we need to tell our children what this ceremony means. It's not just something we come to church and do. In fact, we should do it at our own homes. We don't need to have it, right? Am I right? We need to have it all the time, because what it does is constantly arrest sin. Whenever you got something in your life, one of the first things we need to do is have communion. When you got sin going on, when you got a bad thing going on in your life, you need to have communion, because it will arrest those things. Look back. What God memories do you have? When did God deliver you from your Egypt? When did he save you? What Red Seas has he opened up for you? What miraculous supplies has he given for you? What wonderful things of healing and miracles has he worked in your life? Remember those things. Look back, the Bible says. Look back at those things. And maybe when you examine yourself and you look back, you don't have any. You don't have a God memory. Well, then today you can start. Today, as you partake of the body and of the blood of Jesus Christ, you can start your God memories, because he wants to fill you up with them. As I look back, I've got so many I can't recall them all. Everything I've ever done, just about every person I've met for the last 30 years has got a God memory. He wants to have you looking back and having your God memories. First thing we do is look within, examine ourselves. Second thing we do is examine ourselves and look back. Third thing we're going to do is examine ourselves and look ahead. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The believer is always looking forward to be with Christ for when he comes. What is the things you're looking forward to? Maybe you're looking forward to one of your loved ones coming to Jesus, receiving salvation. Maybe you're looking forward to some wonderful things happening in your life. I'm looking for some wonderful things happening in my life. But one thing for sure, no matter what I'm really looking forward to short term, there is a day coming that I know is going to happen. One day, every single one of us will die, literally die. They'll take your body and they'll bury it, or they'll cremate it. Then to what do you look forward? We're so short term. See, it's appointed to all of us a time, a day. And when that day comes, what happens then? To what do you look forward? It's only going to be one of two things. It will be hellish. It will be glorious. You'll have an eternity in glory with Christ, or you'll have an eternity in hell in a lake of fire. To what do you look forward? Oh yeah, we have a lot of close things, a lot of short-term things coming. But to what do you look forward to in eternity? This week, I really want it to be a week of remembering. Perhaps you might want to fast something. Perhaps you'd like to fast that every time, something you do frequently, and it will always cause you to remember. Remember Him this way. Maybe you would have a couple of times during the week when you would just have communion with your family. This is the week of Passion. This is called Passion Week. This whole week is that week. Maybe you can remember Him. It's a week to remember. Next week is a week to celebrate. But He says, I want you to remember Me this way. As they come now to begin to service, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you will, is receive your body and receive your cup, the blood, and hold it. I'm going to give you a few minutes to look within. I want you to look within. What do you see? Do you like what you see? If you don't, then arrest it. If you don't like what you see, if you see depression or if you see sadness or if you see sin, then arrest it and crucify it right now. I want you to look back. I want you to look back at what God's done for you. When did He deliver you from Egypt? When has He miraculously done things for you in your life? Look back. Then I want you to look forward. What do you have planned ahead? Short term, but mostly, and most importantly, what do you have planned ahead eternally? It can only be one of two things, hellish or glorious. I'm going to take a few minutes now. There's going to be a sound, and we're going to play this. And I want you just to look within and look back and look forward. And then I'll come back in just a few minutes, and we'll celebrate communion together. I'll ask you to stand with me in just a minute. You've received your part. What is your part? Are you grateful and thankful for your part? Apostle Paul taught communion from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then he followed that up with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which talks about the body of Christ, common union. As you do your part, you come in common union, not with only Christ, but with the body. What is your part? You've received your covenant. Your covenant. New covenant. Do you appreciate it? Are you thankful for it? Are you grateful for it? The Bible says, the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the cup in the new covenant, in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Father, we've looked within. We've looked back. And we're looking forward. Father, I pray now that each person here has come into common union with You. They've received healing in their body, strength, that every care they had has been arrested, every idol, every sin. And now, Lord, we stand before you clear and pure and righteous with you because of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We remember it. We remember him this way. Thank you. Amen. If you'll pass your cups to the center and be seated. We're going to do baptisms now. So of those who are going to be baptized, if you haven't changed, if you want to go change, fine, I'm going to. I'll be showing you another video of a testimony from Carrie and Taft. And then I'll be out and we'll water baptize.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and this is my husband, Taft. We have been attending LifeGate Church ever since September of 2004. And in December of that same year, Taft and I were married here by Pastor Delbert. I had attended LifeGate Church before on special occasions like the Easter drama and other occasions. So I kind of knew a little bit of the background. So when I asked Taft if he wanted to attend here with me, of course, he said yes. He knew Terry also from working with him. And so we just, with the help of my Aunt Sybil and Granny, just keeping on at me. They knew I had been coming, going through a whole lot. So they just wanted me to keep come to church because they knew how much better I would feel about my life. And I've got to say, ever since I've been coming here to LifeGate, I've seen a huge change in my life. And I wanted to thank everybody for all the prayers and all the things they've done for us.
And since I've been going to church here also, I've seen my family grow in here. I've seen my mother get baptized in here, which really meant a whole lot to me. And you just don't know how it feels to have not only your mother, but both grandmothers. I'm lucky enough to have both of my grandmothers here with me every Sunday. That's something that I bet hardly anybody in this church can say. I have both of them here with me, and you don't know how much that means to me to see both of them on Sundays, because we get really busy during the week, and you can't go see them every Sunday. But I know Sunday morning I'll come in here, and both of them will be here.
I had really been praying and meditating for quite some time on being baptized, because I got to thinking the other day while I was at work, it would have been a year ago this month that I was supposed to get baptized. I had been going through a lot. We had just were moving into a new house, and I was in and out. And so I just felt like if everything wasn't just right, I couldn't get baptized because I'm just picky like that. And so I had sent Pastor Delbert an email to let him know that I was wanting to be baptized this year. And the more I got to thinking about it, I thought, you know, this is right before Easter. What better time to show my love for Jesus? He died on the cross for me. For me, that is something really that I take to heart, because I've always had a bad self-conscious problem. I have never thought that I was good enough for anything, and just to know that Jesus died on the cross for me means so much to me. And I just want to show him today how much I love him. And I know it's nothing in comparison to what he's done for us to die on the cross, but I just want to show my love for him.
Taft. Over the past 3 years that we've been coming here, there's been a whole lot we've been going through. And if it wasn't for the prayers and the people to pray with us, and just this church in general, we probably would not have made it through it. And I just want to thank y'all for it, appreciate it, and we love y'all.